Okay, this evening we're going to pick up in Exodus chapter 26. Just as a reminder, since it's been a little bit of time since we were here in Exodus, I guess I would start off by asking, where are we? As a reminder, we're at the top of Mount Sinai, the end of Exodus chapter 24. Verse 15, Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain, and the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day he called to Moses from the midst of the cloud, and to the eyes of the sons of Israel the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the mountaintop. And Moses entered the midst of the cloud as he went up to the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And so Exodus chapters 25 to 31 is an account of Moses on Mount Sinai. The rest of the Israelites are down at the base of the mountain waiting for Moses to come back down. All right, so that's where we are in this chapter and in the next several chapters. We are on the top of Mount Sinai getting the view in words that Moses literally got while he was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, as God is describing to us the what right worship is, the tabernacle that he's commanding Moses and the Israelites to build as they move through the wilderness. In Exodus chapter 25, the last time we were together, the beginning of Exodus chapter 25, Moses took an offering, a freewill offering from the Israelites, which consisted of all of the materials that they needed to execute the building of the tabernacle. Okay? So, you see in 25 verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses, tell the sons of Israel to raise the contribution. Right? Beginning in verse 10, we saw what the Ark of the Covenant looked like. The Ark of the Covenant is the only piece of furniture in the most holy place, or in the Holy of Holies. We talked last time about how it is the throne of God, or the footstool of God. Then we talked about the table of showbread, or the table of the bread of the presence, which is on the north side of the holy place. Remember, the doors out leading out of the tabernacle face east. Okay, so to go into the tabernacle, you need to go west. The table of the showbread is on the north side of the holy place, and on the table of the showbread is bread and other things. And then, beginning in verse 31 of Exodus 25, we talked about the golden lampstand, which is on the south side of the holy place, which provided light for the ministry of the priests inside of the tent. All of the things, pieces of furniture that we have discussed up to this point are made of close. They're yes, at least covered with gold, right? Yes. So yeah, but they're golden. That's right. All right. And because this is the holy place and the most holy place, this is where God lives and resides. And eventually, we'll get to the bronze altar, which is outside of the tent itself, into the tabernacle complex. Okay. So in Exodus 26, as we pick up in verse 1. Moreover, God speaking, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twisted linen and blue and purple and scarlet. You shall make them with cherubim, the work of a skillful workman. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. All the curtains shall have the same measurements. 5 curtains shall be joined to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be joined to one another. And you shall make loops of blue on the edge of the outermost curtain in the first set, and likewise you shall make them on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in the second set. You shall make 50 loops in the one curtain, and you shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is in the second set. The loops shall be opposite each other. And you shall make 50 clasps of gold, and join the curtains to one another with the clasps, that the tabernacle may be a unit. So let's stop there for a second. What we're going to see is that the tabernacle itself, okay, so if you have a study Bible, right, the tabernacle itself, which is the tent inside of the larger complex, okay, the tent itself has 4 coverings. And what's being described here in verses 1 through 6 is the innermost covering. It is the covering that would be seen by the priests when they go into the tent, into the tabernacle, to do their ministry. And remember, the ministry is in the holy place. It's a daily ministry. All right? They go in every day, twice a day. All right? And then inside the most holy place, it's an annual ministry. It's one day a year, right? And it's only the high priest is allowed to go in there. But whenever they went inside the tent, what they would see is they would see this first covering. And this first covering is made, as you can see in verse 1, of blue and purple and scarlet material. Right? And they're made with cherubim, the work of a skillful workman. So the first thing that we see is that it's a beautiful covering. All right? It is a picture of the throne room of God. And we can see that because the cherubim themselves are worked into it. All right? So we talked a couple of times ago about the larger tabernacle and tabernacle complex, what it's meant to represent. And what we said was that it's the place where God resides. Okay? And so it's important to understand that first covering that the priests would see as they're walking into the place where God resides is they would see cherubim all over the place, a picture of the very throne room of God. And again, you can go to Isaiah chapter 6 to get a sense of what's going on there, or Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 5, what's going on in the very throne room of God. Now, length of these curtains is 42 feet, right? 28 cubits, about 42 feet or so, and then 6 feet wide, right? So they're pieces of embroidered material, 42 by 6. There's 11 of them, 5 of them put together, right? And then, 10 of them, 5. Of this particular covering, verse 3, 5 joined together, and then 5 other ones joined together, right? And they're connected together by rings of gold. Again, that's what the priests would see as they walk into the tabernacle, right? They would see all gold, the cherubim, beautiful embroidery, okay? None of this should surprise us, since God is beautiful in himself, and so he's surrounded by beautiful things, right? It is, we should assume, I think, that the reason why there's 5 and 5 is for ease of transport. Okay? Ease of transport. So remember, the Levites themselves, the priests, they have to carry, when God decides to move, his Shekinah glory moves the Israelites through the wilderness towards the promised land, then the Levites have to tear down the whole tabernacle complex, and they have to carry it. As they follow the Shekinah glory of God, when the Shekinah glory of God rests, they then re-erect the tabernacle, right? So remember, this is a mobile, transported tabernacle. And eventually, it will be transported west across the Jordan River into the land which God promised to Abraham and his descendants. And it will be set up in various places, all right? So it must be transportable, all right? Again, this first covering, beautiful, embroidered with gold clasps. Verse 7. Then you shall make curtains of goat's hair for a tent over the tabernacle. You shall make 11 curtains in all. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. The 11 curtains shall have the same measurements. And you shall join 5 curtains by themselves, and the other 6 curtains by themselves. And you shall double over the 6th curtain at the front of the tent. And you shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in the first set, and 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in the second set. And you shall make 50 clasps of bronze. And you shall put the clasps into the loops and join the tent together, that it may be a unit. And the overlapping part that is left over in the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that is left over, shall lap over the back of the tabernacle. And the cubit on one side and the cubit on the other of what is left over in the length of the curtains of the tent shall lap over the sides of the tabernacle on one side and on the other to cover it. And you shall make a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering of porpoise skins above. Okay, so here we have the 3 additional coverings. All right, the first one is made of goat's hair. Right, so if you have a study Bible and you have a picture, you might be able to see the different layers that are there. Okay, and in this particular one, you'll note that they're longer than the first covering. So the first covering was about 42 feet. The second covering is now about 45 feet. Okay, so this is over top of the tabernacle. And there are 11 pieces in this particular covering, or these three coverings, as opposed to 10. Right? So the point here is that these three coverings will be large enough to completely cover the innermost covering. All right? So again, what we see is this separation between God in his throne room and sinful men on the outside of the tent. Okay? Sinful men are not even allowed to catch a glimpse of the beauty of God and where he resides. All right? And so God is sending this message again and again to sinful men, right? That there is a distance, there's a separation between them and him. And in order to come into his presence, you must come in a very specific way, which is going to be outlined throughout the rest of the chapters here through chapter 31. So the first one is made of goat's hair, okay? The second one is tanned ram skins, and it says dyed red, all right? It clearly had a reddish color to it. And then the New American Standard Version reads as porpoise skins in Exodus 26:14. Porpoise is a very difficult word to translate, as I previously mentioned. It may just be goat skins. Okay, it may just be goat skins. So you have the embroidered innermost covering, then you have goat's hair, then you have red ram skins, and then you have goat skins on the outside. Okay? Not only do these coverings serve to provide a barrier between sinful men and God, but also, just for pragmatically speaking, what are these designed to do? They're designed to shield everything that's inside the tent from the elements, from the sun, from the rain, all of those things. Okay? And so that's also what's going on here. The house of worship, all right, is one. And again, none of the gold, for example, inside of the tabernacle can be tainted. Right? It has to be protected. So separated and then subsequently protected. And of course, you can read some commentaries, and they read a lot into the red of the skins, you know, the skins dyed red, and whether or not that's a picture of sin, and the goat is covering of sin and that sort of thing. And I'm not necessarily opposed to that, right? It's just there in the text, the four coverings of the tabernacle tent protecting the place where God dwells among his people. Verse 15. Then you shall make the boards for the tabernacle of acacia wood, standing upright. 10 cubits shall be the length of each board, and 1.5 cubits the width of each board. There shall be 2 tenons, or clasps, for each board, fitted to one another. Thus you shall do for all the boards of the tabernacle. And you shall make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side. And you shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for its 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for its 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle, on the north side, 20 boards. And there are 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board and 2 sockets under another board. And for the rear of the tabernacle, to the west, you shall make 6 boards. And you shall make 2 boards for the corners of the tabernacle at the rear. And they shall be double beneath, and together they shall be complete to its top, to the first ring. Thus it shall be with both of them. They shall form the 2 corners. There shall be 8 boards with their sockets of silver, 16 sockets. 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. Then you shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards of one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle to the rear to the west. And the middle bar in the center of the boards shall pass through from end to end. So if you have a detailed picture of what the tabernacle, the tent, looked like, it should be an accurate representation of what's going on in the text here. So typically I point people to the picture in the ESV Study Bible, for example, that I have in front of me here, and I can pass it around. And if you go through and you count the number of vertical boards in, on the bottom of this picture under the in the tabernacle complex, you will indeed count those accurate numbers. 20 on the north, 20 on the south, 6 to the west, and then the corners, and that sort of thing. Okay, and then you can see, of course, the four coverings as well. Right? There's vertical boards and horizontal bars that hold the tabernacle complex together. And so the mechanical designer among us here will bear testimony to the fact that this is a good, strong, solid design because God designed it, and so it's well designed like everything else that God designs. Okay? I stopped at 28, verse 29. You shall overlay the boards with gold and make their rings of gold as holders for the bars, and you shall overlay the bars with gold. Then you shall erect the tabernacle according to its plan, which has been shown to you on the mountain. So we should not be surprised, of course, that these this structure that holds up the tent, which is what the priests would see as they walk in and do their ministry where God resides, all of it is made of gold. And again, we have here in verse 30 of Exodus 26, the same thing that we saw twice in Exodus 25, verse 9, and then subsequently verse 40, that Moses is told again by God, make sure this structure which you build for the worship of Yahweh is exactly as shown to you on the mountain. And what we talked about last time was we know from the book of Hebrews in the New Testament that the reason why that is because this is an earthly replica of the very throne room of God in heaven. Okay? And so the details are very important. Finally, verse 31 and following. And you shall make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. It shall be made with cherubim, the work of a skillful workman. And you shall hang it on four pillars of acacia overlaid with gold, their hooks also being of gold, on four sockets of silver. And you shall hang up the veil under the clasps, and shall bring in the ark of the testimony there within the veil. And the veil shall serve for you as a partition between the holy place and the holy of holies. And you shall put the mercy seat on the ark of the testimony in the holy of holies. And you shall set the table outside the veil, and the lampstand opposite the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And you shall put the table on the north side. And you shall make a screen for the doorway of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen, the work of a weaver. And you shall make five pillars of acacia for the screen and overlay them with gold, their hooks also being of gold. And you shall cast five sockets of bronze for them. Okay, so in the tabernacle tent, there are two screens or two pieces of linen that separate one portion from the next. Okay, so one is called the veil and one is called the screen. So the veil is the one that separates the most holy place or the holy of holies from the holy place. And you can see that if you have a good detailed picture. You can see that on the picture of the tabernacle itself. And you can see, if it's a good replica of the tabernacle tent, that that particular veil has cherubim on it in some form or another. So, for example, it looks like in the ESV Study Bible, the veil itself, it looks like something like lions. Okay, and they probably in see maybe they have or men. You don't necessarily know what their faces look like, but you can certainly see the wings that are coming up and covering their face, similar to what is constructed on the mercy seat itself. Okay, similar to what Isaiah again saw in Isaiah 6, right? The cherubim in that vision had six wings. Two, they would cover their feet, right? Two, they would cover their faces, and with two, they would fly. So clearly you see the wings covering the faces of the cherubim, like on the mercy seat, right? And this is they're prostrate, right? In a posture of worship of the one true God. And of course, Verse 32, you hang it on four pillars of acacia overlaid with gold, their hooks also being of gold, on four sockets of silver. So it's very interesting here, right? So there's gold almost everywhere, right? And then you have these silver bases, and there's four of them. So again, I would point you to something like the ESV Study Bible picture. You can see that there are four vertical pieces that are basically holding up the veil between the holy place and the most holy place. Do you see that? Okay. And they are made of gold except for the sockets on the bottom. All right. And I think that's interesting because when we get out to the screen, you can see that there's a transition from gold and then the sockets are bronze. And so, again, as you're getting farther and farther away from the throne of God, the value of the metal that's being used is actually diminishing as you get out further and further toward the bronze. Okay, but for the most part, almost everything that the priest would see as he goes into the tabernacle tent is made of gold. Okay, so again, in verse 33, you hang up the veil under the clasps, right? And then you take in the Ark of the Testimony, or the Ark of the Covenant. And that veil, verse 33, it serves for you as a partition between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And again, remember, only one Israelite could break that barrier, and it was only one day a year. Very important. And then we get, verse 34, you got the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant, which we talked about last time. And then laying out again, verse 35, how the lampstand and the table of the showbread are supposed to be laid out in the holy place. Then verse 36, you have the screen for the doorway of the tent. So this is now separating the courtyard area where the wash basin is going to be, where the bronze altar is going to be, where the sacrifices are going to take place, right? There's going to be a screen separating that courtyard from the holy place itself. And the one significant difference between the veil and the screen is that the veil has cherubim on it. Right? Again, the throne room of God. The high priest on the Day of Atonement, he knows that when he parts that veil, and he's headed into the very throne room of God. Right? And we also talked two times ago that the tabernacle is a picture of Eden on the inside. Right? And the wilderness on the outside. And of course, we remember from Genesis chapter 3 that Adam and Eve could not go west back into the garden because there was a gate that was placed there, flaming swords, cherubim guarding the way. Right? Those are the cherubim on the veil. On the screen, no cherubim. Okay? So the daily ministry, as part of the daily ministry, the priests were not actually walking into the throne room of God. All right? No cherubim there. And then, of course, you can see that verse 37, you shall make five pillars of acacia for the screen, overlay them with gold, their hooks also being of gold, and you shall cast five sockets of bronze for them. So again, as we get farther and farther away from the throne room of God, the value of the metals decreases. Okay? So, a relatively quick chapter. We'll finish up just by reminding you, okay, that the tabernacle, which Moses saw on the mountain, and he was directed to create it, right, machine and fab it, in a way exactly as he saw it. So he goes, he's going to eventually go down the mountain. There'll be some intervening chapters where the Israelites themselves are in idolatry. But eventually Exodus is going to end up with the creation of the tabernacle tent and God's blessing of the tabernacle. And we know he blessed it because he came with his presence to indwell it. And he sat down on his mercy seat. That tabernacle will end up moving with the Israelites through 40 years. Again, I'm not trying to give the end away to you, but this whole generation of Israelites dies in the wilderness because they're complaining. So they move around in the wilderness for 40 years. The subsequent generation moves west across the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, and they're there for a few hundred years during the time of Joshua and the time of Judges. The tabernacle is still in existence at that time. However, what you read through the course of the Judges is that sometimes the Ark of the Covenant gets stolen and all that good stuff. All right? Then you move into Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel. Saul becomes king. Saul gets the kingship taken away from him, and then David, and then Solomon. And Solomon now builds a temple to replace the tabernacle, because God had told his people and he told David that at some point in the history of Israel, God was going to establish a permanent place for his presence and his name to reside. And that permanent place becomes Jerusalem. Right? So Solomon builds his temple in around 1000 AD, about 500 years after the tabernacle. Right? And then that temple gets destroyed, 586, by the Babylonians. And the southern kingdom of Judah goes into the Babylonian captivity. And then they come back 70 years later under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah. Right? So around 500 BC or so, just to set us, right? And then they start to build this second temple. And then from 500 BC up till about the turn from BC to AD, right? When Herod takes over, then Herod builds upon this temple complex, the second temple complex, and he builds this beautiful temple. Look at pictures in your study Bible or online of Herod's temple. It was even more beautiful than Solomon's temple. And they would say about the temple that Herod built that on a bright sunny day, you could stand far off from Jerusalem. And if you looked toward the temple, it would look like it was literally shining like the sun on the top of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And it had a veil that separated the most holy place from the holy place. And in that temple, at the moment Jesus offers up his spirit, that veil that separates the most holy place, the throne room of God, from sinful men on the outside, that veil is torn in two from top to bottom. It's torn in two by God himself, denoting that the new covenant is now in effect. Mm-hmm. And that the great high priest, his once for all sacrifice, has been accepted. And now the way into God's throne room is open and no longer needs to be mediated by any sinful men in the line of Aaron and Levi, but is now mediated by our great high priest, Jesus Christ. And then 40 years later, Herod's temple is razed to the ground by the Roman armies in 70 AD, never ever to be built again. Because Revelation tells us that in the new heavens and the new earth, there's no longer any need for a temple. Okay? There's no need for another temple because the once for all sacrifice has been made, and the veil, and it was a big veil. It was a much bigger veil than the veil we discussed here tonight out of Exodus 26. It was literally torn in two like a sheet of paper by God, denoting the fact that now the way has been made open by repentance and faith into God's very presence. And that's literally what Hebrews 7 through 10 is about. Amen.
Amen.